Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam Black. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody.
Oh, doing just fine, John. Happy it's Friday. It's good to be here in our wonderful Fan Run Studios. It's good to be anywhere.
How's your day going so far?
Better than yesterday.
Okay, good. So I assume you've eaten today?
I've eaten, but I was not able to take a shower as I had intended this morning. Hopefully I don't smell too bad.
Okay, so I mean you woke up and you had to make a decision, basically. Am I going to eat or shower, and you chose eat?
No, that's not what it was. They shut our water off this morning at the apartment.
First month? Like, you guys have been there for a month and you're already like at the point behind in bills where they're shutting your water down?
No, it wasn't on us. It was an emergency plumbing situation. They sent an email, and they said, what'd they say? Dear residents, water will be shut off to your building for an emergency plumbing repair this morning. We are so sorry for any inconvenience this may cause during this necessary repair. Our vendors will work to ensure that your services are restored as quickly as possible.
That's a real inconvenience.
Imagine if you were someone who really needed a shower this morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I took one yesterday, so I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I can tell if I'm too stinky to be in public, and I'm okay today.
Yeah, I don't smell anything weird.
Nah, I put my deodorant on, my Gold Bond spray, you know, okay. Freshened up the areas that need freshening up.
Yeah.
But so I'm okay, but I mean, imagine some guy that had just gotten off like the night shift at construction or something, you know?
Yeah.
He's out paving the roads, and he really, really just wanted a shower. Tough for him. Hopefully they get it back on soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So other than that, though, I'm doing all right.
Good.
And you?
I'm good.
You said you're well?
Yeah. I noticed you're rocking a McDonald's cup today.
Yeah.
Is that where you ate today?
I did.
Was it the same location as yesterday?
It was.
So your anger just quickly went away, or did you guys go in and hash it out? And they gave you a $50 gift card or something for your troubles? Did you get a refund for your meals yesterday, or what happened?
You know, I didn't even feel like bringing it up. I just went through the drive-thru, and I ordered the same thing I ordered yesterday. There was not a long line of cars today. I got there even a little bit earlier than yesterday. I think it was 11:28 when I pulled in. And I thought, surely to God, things will go smoother today. And it did. They processed me right through the line in less than 3 minutes.
So you just went back and just rewarded them with more of your money after yesterday, essentially.
Today's a new day. And my love for bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits will always be stronger than my hate for incompetence.
Happy to see you are a man of principle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits.
I feel like if something or somewhere treated me the way they treated you yesterday, I would never give them another dollar.
Well, as you said, I'm a man of principle. I stand up for what's right. And what's right in my mind is me getting my bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. Although I had just polished off the first one, and I was about halfway through the second one, and I was coming down Paper Mill, and there was an officer who pulled out from one of the apartment complexes there, and this cop got behind me, and that was a little scary because my brake lights apparently are out. And the only reason I know this is because I've had two guys pull up beside me in the last week or so and roll their window down and force me, "Hey, roll your window down! roll your window down. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And they've, and I cracked my window. I'm like, yes. They're like, you ain't got no brake lights. Both of these guys sounded exactly like that. They were very adamant about telling me, different guys, both very adamant about telling me I didn't have brake lights.
Were they being nice about it, or?
They were kind of rude.
I mean, if they were following you, I'm sure maybe they almost hit you. So that maybe upset them. Although, on one hand,
pay attention to what the car is doing, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what the brake lights are for, to help you pay attention.
Well, the center brake light is working.
Okay, so there is one brake light.
Yeah, but the two, it must be a wiring issue because the two actual brake lights are not working.
Okay.
According to what these guys told me, you ain't got any brake lights. Okay, thanks for telling me. And then the second guy told me, I'm like, yeah, I already heard from your cousin, Eddie. He told me I didn't have any.
Okay.
Very adamant. Really wanted me to know about my brake lights. Like, thanks. Next guy that tells me to roll my window down, I'm just going to ignore him. Because I imagine it'll be the third brother. But anyway, the cop didn't seem to mind.
That's good.
He just kept going and I turned.
Did you not tap your brakes? Did you?
Yeah. Well, we stopped at a stoplight and I was just like, yeah, this is, I'm pretty vulnerable here. There was nowhere I could go.
That is a bad feeling.
Yeah. But he didn't even, I guess he didn't care.
Did you stay off your phone to maximize your opportunities?
Yeah, I just had both hands on the wheel, just kept looking at my mirror. Blue light's going to come on. But I just turned and everything was fine. I need to get it fixed, hopefully. Hopefully I can do that soon.
Congratulations.
I don't know how big of it. Somebody told me it might be an issue with the fuse box or something. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure it's an easy fix.
I don't know anything about cars.
Got a couple of sports stories coming down the wire here in the last couple hours. You have the SEC media making their predictions for the football season, and you have the NFL making their announcement on wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Which one do you think is a bigger deal? What's the story of the day?
Well, I imagine the SEC media predictions are pretty predictable. So probably the Tyreek Hill news would be bigger. I mean, I always do enjoy the Friday of SEC media days, though, just seeing where we're picked, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, this isn't an either-or in terms of, like, we're only going to talk about one today on the show.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
I assumed.
We'll get to the other one eventually. So you want to go with the Tyreek Hill stuff?
Yeah.
Well, the NFL said in a statement that it could not determine whether Tyreek Hill violated the personal conduct policy and will not suspend him. The Chiefs have had him suspended indefinitely as this investigation went on. And we thought maybe Tyreek Hill's days in Kansas City were done. They are not. The Chiefs stood by their wide receiver, rode it out with him, and looks like now he has been reinstated. And based on the evidence that they have, is free to return to the team and resume activities. He's in the last year of his contract. I would assume the Chiefs will work up a new deal for him, pay him, and then put language in there like, hey, if you get suspended, we're going to void it, or hey, if another incident happens, this is voided. But for now, the explosive Tyreek Hill, I mean, he is one of the more exciting players to watch in the NFL. He is cleared to resume activities.
I'm sure his son views him as explosive as well.
Well, that's always the flip side to it, right? The kid ended up with a broken arm. His son ended up with a broken arm. The NFL says they couldn't determine who did it.
I mean, if you don't have proof of it, I guess. I mean, it's kind of it's a bad deal that a 3-year-old boy has to have a broken arm because of this guy or whoever. If it's not him, who is it? His mother?
Feels like there should be some type of intervention here, right?
I mean, it's a 3-year-old with a broken arm. I mean, there's you can't just assume it's Tyreek Hill, but, I mean, somebody should probably be held accountable, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at the very least, these two shouldn't be around each other, maybe. Although, like, I don't know what they're claiming happened to the kid. I know they're saying they didn't do it. He's someone with a past, you know, in 2014 before being drafted, he copped a plea to domestic violence whenever his girlfriend was pregnant. We didn't talk about the recording that came out last week. I believe it was maybe even the week before. But some longer audio came out of her trying to record him in an airport. And we had heard the clip of it previously, whenever we got the snippet of "Used to be terrified of me too," bleep.
Yeah, I mean, he said that to her in the recording. I don't know that that's evidence.
But a couple of weeks ago, like in the last couple of weeks, we've gotten more audio of that. Unedited audio that, you know, just had more context to it. And it had her continuously trying to bring up 2014. And he kept saying, "Nothing happened in 2014. You lied on me." To which she never said, "No, I didn't." She just kind of kept deflecting. And he didn't know he was being recorded. She was trying to record him to, I guess, trap him a little bit in this and to get him to kind of look bad so that this would give, you know, more, I guess, credibility to her.
Well, I mean, if he's smart, he would know not to say anything just right. With the possibility of him being
right.
Recorded.
And that's definitely the flip side to it. But the public perception did shift a little bit after that video came out, after that audio came out.
I don't think that should flip the public perception. I mean, anyone with any bit of sense, if one recording comes out, you would never say anything again in front of this woman.
Well, it was from the same recording. It was just longer audio.
It's from the same recording.
Yeah, just longer audio. Like, we'd only had a little snippet of it before.
But wasn't the snippet of him saying that she should be terrified of him?
Yeah, but I'm saying we only heard the small snippet of it. This time we'd heard the unedited 25-minute version of it. So, like, he didn't know that she had previously recorded it at the time. Or she didn't know that he didn't know she had previously leaked it or, you know, that it had gotten out. So it wasn't like he was like, "No, you're not going to get me again" type of thing. This was the same audio that he had said that on.
I mean, for the guy to tell her something like that and for him to have the history of domestic abuse already, it seems pretty likely to me that he probably broke the kid's arm. But, you know, if the police department determined they didn't have the evidence for it, I mean, what can you do?
Yeah. And, you know, just from an NFL perspective, they have been pretty aggressive, right, in terms of handing out suspensions. They went with a similar instance with Ezekiel Elliott and came out with a 6-game suspension. Seen a lot of Cowboys fans mad about that today. Comparing it, like, "Oh, wow, Tyreek doesn't get anything, but you gave Ezekiel Elliott 6 games?
Mm-hmm.
When there was still no proof?
Apparently he had an 8-hour meeting with the NFL on June 26th to discuss the case involving his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eight hours.
I mean, he went through the investigation, and, you know, towards the back end of it, his alleged victim would no longer cooperate with the NFL. They couldn't get her in to testify or to, I guess, even give an interview. In case, you know, testify just means in the courtroom. She wouldn't cooperate. Which to some means, "Oh, she's lying." To others means, "No, she doesn't want to ruin her kid's life."
Yeah. I mean,
like, Tyreek Hill is for better or worse, a meal ticket. And a provider for that family. And he is set. He hasn't made the big money yet, right? I just told you he's in the last year of his rookie deal. I want to say he was a 4th-round pick, right? So playing as a 3rd, 4th, or 5th-round pick, whichever one it was, like I said, I think it was a 4th-round pick. For him to play at that level, at that salary, he hasn't had his big payday yet. Obviously, if he gets in trouble here, 5th-round pick. Thanks, Ben. If he gets in trouble here, that really compromises his standing to get a big payday and compromises his chances of even staying in the league. Now, you could argue that someone would pick him up and give him a chance, but it's going to be at a discounted rate. So the fact that she wouldn't cooperate isn't really shocking. to anybody. And there's also psychology, you know, behind that with victims in domestic disputes. But we got our announcement from the NFL. Tyreek Hill not going to be suspended unless new evidence comes out. I always hate these stories because we're always just kind of like, I don't know what actually happened.
I don't know. Some of them it's easier to think or it's easier to see what likely happened. But I guess you never know for sure.
Right. But either way, it's still kind of us making our assumptions, right? I mean, granted, you could say there's more of a likelihood that this happened, but you still don't know. And it's always weird if we're going to try to play police when the actual police have like, yeah, nothing here.
They could ask the kid.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier.
Hey, who broke your arm? Dad.
Yeah, I wondered like if that was like ethical. I'd imagine.
I mean, the girl says it in the original audio.
That
the kid said that she's like, we asked him who broke his arm, and he said daddy.
Yeah.
And he was like, he says daddy to everything, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like then like you get to, is a three-year-old, I guess, a legitimate.
A reliable source.
Yeah, a legitimate source, like.
Or has he been coached up to say whatever?
Right.
Because, like, kids will.
Yeah, if you, yeah, I mean. If
you tell them to say something, they'll do it.
Right. So, I mean, like, at that point, is that even credible? But a lot of comparisons being made to Ezekiel Elliott, to Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady got four games for maybe deflating footballs, for maybe the noble gas law coming into effect, and hey, it was really cold, so the ball's just deflated. Now you could say he got suspended for like destroying a cell phone and being like, nah, not cooperating. Go ahead and give me the month off. I'll come back and win the Super Bowl fresh. But people making those comparisons. To the Ezekiel Elliott stuff, I would just say, look, I think that NFL fans all kind of looked and said, this seems extreme for Ezekiel Elliott. So, like, in society, do we have this condition where we want everyone to feel the same pain we feel? And I know it's different when you're talking about it in a sports lens, but I mean, like, if the Cowboys are like, hey, this is awful, Zeke got suspended, it was unfair, like, do you want the Chiefs to have to deal with a suspension that might not be fair just because you did, or do you want to see improvement? Like, even if you extrapolate it out to society, like, people are like, hey, I don't want to see student loan debt forgiven because I had to pay my student loans.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And look, I mean, whichever side you are on that, like,
that's why they don't want student loans to be forgiven.
If the reason is like, hey, I had to do it, and
I worked 15 jobs to pay off my student loans,
therefore I want someone else to do it. Like, it seems like you're just kind of bitter about it. And I'm not even saying for good or bad reason. Like, I would understand someone who, you know, was fiscally responsible and made an effort to pay back their loans. I would understand them getting upset that the next generation isn't going to have to.
People also tend to overlook that college was a little more affordable back then.
That, plus, I mean, like I said, just because you suffered through something doesn't mean that the next generation should or the next people. Like, I think as a society we should look at just kind of improving. Now, look, again, yeah, like, I don't care about the student loans. If you feel like that's improving, that's one thing. But it's just the rationale that people use when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, it's just it's just people being selfish. It's like, if I get hit by a car, I'm not going to hope that you guys have to get hit by a car so that you know what it's all about.
Yeah, you want to feel that same struggle. And I couldn't help but make that connection when I'm seeing the Cowboys fans mad that Tyreek Hill is not getting suspended. Again, I understand wanting to be fair, but at the same time, if the overall goal of NFL fans is, hey, maybe make Roger Goodell less of a dictator, where he could just wildly throw out punishments without a lot of evidence. It sucks that your guy had to fall on the sword. But I think overall it's nice that we actually like got a situation where maybe there was enough evidence, so maybe we're not going to suspend a guy.
I'm sure that it's mainly just them being upset about what happened to Zeke, you know. Maybe not necessarily looking for vengeance or for, you know, that the Chiefs should get what he got, but they're probably still mad about Zeke.
Oh, yeah, no, they're 100% still mad about Zeke.
They just think it's ridiculous what happened to Zeke.
But overall, shouldn't they be happy that this is shifting away from it?
Well, you would think if they were really putting some thought into it, that would make more sense logically.
Now I understand the idea of being like, hey, what about us? You know, as a society, we are geared to care about ourselves first. But again, like, I think overall, if you're getting the trend changing a little bit, Roger Goodell maybe not getting the dictatorship, the authoritative rule of just saying, hey, no, suspended. Don't care what the facts say. Suspended. Maybe that's not a bad thing to come out of this. Unless, of course, he beat his kid. Then, I mean, we dropped the ball here, which is always a flip side. But, like, you know, I don't know. But if he beat his kid, now he's getting ready to get a big payday, like, that sucks. But at the same time, it would also suck for the kid and the family not to get the payday. It's always a weird moral conundrum. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. We'll hit you with a quick Open Championship leaderboard update. Tiger missed the cut. Did you see?
I assumed that was going to happen when we learned he was several over par yesterday.
Shane Lowry still at the top of the leaderboard. 9 under through 16 holes today. He has a one-shot lead over J.B. Holmes, Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood, and Dylan Fratelli. Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth tied for 9th. Spieth finally playing good, I guess. They're both 5 under. Patrick Reed, 4 under. Justin Rose, 6 under. Those guys are all kind of there in contention. I told you I always do that pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
So far, my pool's doing okay. My pool picks are doing okay. Now, from the tier one, the top 5 players, I picked Rory. So that kind of sucked. I was like, hey, it's in Ireland. I mean, the guy has to be good in Ireland, right? No.
No, apparently not.
No, he does not. So that sucks because, you know, Rose and Koepka are doing so well.
So is Koepka, where'd you say Koepka was at? He's right at the top there.
He's tied for 9th, 5 under.
Oh, good, good. I don't want him to win.
I mean, he's going to be in contention. Like, he's going to shoot good tomorrow and be a couple shots off the lead going into Sunday. He'll be there at the end.
Who are you pulling for there at the top?
Well, I mean, I picked Tommy Fleetwood, so.
I think that's who I'm for.
My plan this time was just to pick all foreigners since it's, you know, over in Europe. I don't know if that's smart. Like all foreigners and Spieth. So I guess I don't even like Spieth, but I was like, all right, I guess I'll just take him. And you know, he's 5 under, so he's giving me a shot. But yeah, I guess Fleetwood. I don't know. I don't really have any favorites at the top.
Not a J.B. Holmes guy?
Nah. Honestly, I don't know what J.B. Holmes looks like.
Guessing he's white.
I feel like that's a pretty safe bet.
I mean, he's American, so I see the American flag by his name. I'm assuming he's just like a white guy, probably in his late 20s.
I'm going to say this guy looks to be in his 30s.
Probably fairly fit.
No. Well, just from his headshot, he looks a little chubby in his headshot.
Oh, well.
I mean, I know he's not chubby in, you know, the real sense of the word, but just compared to his.
Oh, yeah, he does not really look like the average golfer, and he's 37 years old.
Compared to his peers, yeah.
The average golfer just kind of looks young and, you know, like, I don't know, kind of like he probably was a jerk in high school.
Right now on the TV behind us, if you're watching on Periscope, we do have the national championship game pulled up.
And by the national championship game, you mean the 1998 football contest between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Florida State Seminoles.
Yeah, yeah. That is correct.
I know the outcome of this game already.
Yeah, yeah. Those checkerboards look nice in the end zone.
Especially in a national championship game.
Solid looking jerseys. I like those jerseys.
You
big
guys,
fat letters on the name on the back, the big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry we missed the first touchdown. My bad.
We didn't know about it until like 5 minutes ago.
Well, I didn't know about it. I just forgot about it. Love coming out in a little offset eye formation. And
oh, wow. Mitch Petras died. Did you see that?
Getting the ball to Sean Bryson.
Whoa.
I think that's why everyone wants the fullback back, just because we all think they'll be like Sean Bryson. It doesn't usually work out that way.
Did
usually
you see
those
that?
Guys are, usually those guys aren't your fullbacks.
Mitch Petras died.
Who is Mitch Petras?
He was a lineman at Arkansas, and he went to the NFL. I don't know who he was with in the NFL, but the thing I remember about him is when I was at the football camp up there, I bench pressed more than he did in college when I was in high school. He played for the Giants, Cam says. He died. He was 32. He's dead. Heat stroke? Wow.
You okay? Do you need to compose yourself? You need to go outside and take a lap or anything?
No, I just knew the name because he was a lineman for Arkansas.
Okay.
And I bench pressed more than him.
You just wanted to tell people that?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's a good day for you. He dies, so you get to tell the story on air. Oh, wow. House call? House call. Nice little pick six.
Dwayne Goodrich. You know, some people say that if Winkie had started this game, we would have lost.
I mean, they were down to their third-string quarterback, right?
We just can't have anything, can we?
I mean, I'm not going to say we would have lost.
Can't even have our national championship.
I don't know how many people actually care about that, right? The whole Winkie factor. Do, like, other media people or do other, like, fan bases say that besides Florida State? Like, I would understand Florida State being a little salty about it, but, like, it's not like I've ever bragged about the 98 championship and someone be like, yeah, but if Winkie played, you would have lost. Like, no one ever hits me with that.
Yeah. Do you brag about it a lot?
Just when I argue with Georgia fans on the internet.
Hmm.
Just, I always got to tell them that I've seen a national championship in my lifetime and that they don't. Have that same claim.
Depends on how old they are.
Well, I'll make sure that they're not older.
I mean, that was 21 years ago for us, though.
And I'm 29 years old, so I saw it.
But can we really still argue about
well,
that?
Well, I do it, so yes, we can. What's more recent, 21 or 38?
I think I rather would have seen my team do what Georgia's done the last 2 years.
Than win a national championship?
No, then rehash one from when I was like 8. You know what I mean?
What's the goal here? I was talking about this last night, so I'm glad you brought that up. What's the goal here? Just to be good? Like to be Georgia? Just to be in contention or to actually win it? What's the goal? Because you just said you'd rather be what Georgia did than have a national championship, basically. Putting down Tennessee to pump up Georgia. I mean, I get the idea that it's sad that we're not good right now. I'm not arguing that, but like
I'm just saying I think we look kind of dumb if we're going to argue or if we're going to talk about our title 21 years ago.
I mean, what's the goal here, though? Is it to win national championships or just win 10, 11 games? I mean,
it's to win a national championship. That's everyone's goal.
Okay, so I mean, is it dumb to talk about how in the modern era, which I mean, I don't know when you consider the modern era. Maybe it's just
it
the
just
college
feels,
football playoff
it just
now.
It feels
but,
gross.
I mean,
maybe. Oh, maybe gross is not the right word.
I mean, to me, it's better than rehashing the Hail Mary clips or the Juwan Jennings touchdown against Florida. Like, I think that's way grosser than...
It just feels like we're really inferior.
Well, I don't think you're inferior when you're flashing a championship.
Yeah, but it was 21 years ago.
Right, but I mean, there's not more than, what, like 10 programs at most that could say that in the last 21 years?
Sure.
Right, I mean, is it probably 10? Is 10... 10 probably is close to the right number, right? Like 8 or 9, maybe? Even less than 10?
Yeah, but I mean, this is before
a couple with LSU.
It's before the new millennium, you know? before 9/11. I mean, I'm proud of the championship too.
Sounds like you feel survivor's guilt of sorts. Like you feel winner's guilt.
Just seems like we're living in the 90s.
We kind of are. But I'm asking,
our defense.
You just acknowledged what the goal here was, and it was to win championships. So I mean, would you rather have the one championship in your lifetime, or win 12 games the last couple years?
You mean I could give up the 98 national championship to do what Georgia did the last 2 years?
Yeah.
It'd be tempting.
Would you do it?
Considering I was 6'5" when we won it.
Yeah. Are you saying you would do it? Because I don't think very many people would. Now, if you could.
I'm not prepared to say that. That I know that was a special season.
Like, I do wonder, would you trade it to, be set up? Have the last 2 years that Georgia's had, plus, have the future it looks like they may have?
I'll tell you this. I'm more likely to do it because I was 5 years old. Had I been 12 years old when we won it and actually had some bragging rights and got to feel how cool it was, I think my answer would definitely be no. But the fact that I was a 5-year-old makes me a little more likely to maybe consider it.
It's funny that happened because I had the same exact conversation yesterday.
Really?
And I asked, would you trade the championship to remove the last 10 years, just get rid of the last 10 years?
And what did you have the last 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, just 8, 9, 10 wins every, you don't really get below 8. I'm not saying I'm not guaranteeing you a championship, obviously, but you don't go through the pitfalls that we've had the last decade. Because, I mean, it's been really bad since 2008, right?
If you guarantee me 8 or more over the next 10 years, I get rid of it.
11, you've won teams. What? You had a winning record in the regular season 3 times over the last decade? I'm throwing out 6 and 6 years. I'm just talking about winning records. Forget bowl games. You go 6 and 6 and win the bowl game. You had 3 winning records the last decade, right? 7-5 with Kiffin, 8-4, 8-4. That's it, right? Am I missing anything?
No, that would be it. No, Butch went 7-5 too, didn't he?
No, he went 6-6 and won the bowl game, right? He went 5-7, 6-6, 8-4, 8-4.
Yeah.
4-8.
Yeah, 6-6, then 7-6. Okay.
Yeah.
He gets you because he always put on the bowl games. That's what throws everybody off.
I count the bowl games.
I do not count
the bowl games.
I think winning a bowl game is, it's another game of the season.
11 teams since 98.
Cool.
In the last 21 years. And if you take out USC, 10.
Okay.
I'd scrap it if you guaranteed me 8 or more wins for the next decade.
You mean this upcoming decade?
Yeah. You tell me we never win fewer than 8 games in the regular season for the next decade, I'll scrap the national championship.
Just wipe it away from history?
Yeah.
And
we enjoyed it for 20 years.
If I tell you that that doesn't come with any championships, you still do that for the next decade? If I tell you that you don't get an SEC, you can get an East title, but you don't get an SEC conference title or a national title.
Well,
you can still make the playoff, maybe. You can still backdoor your way into a playoff, maybe, but you don't win a championship.
I don't know about that.
You don't win the conference, you don't win the natty.
I don't know about that. I thought I was just going to get to let it ride. Yeah, see what happens. 8 wins and see what happens. Could be 10 wins, could be 12 wins, you know.
Well, that's what, I mean, if you think you can maybe get another natty, then, I mean, of course, you maybe take that role because, you know, you're giving one up to get one when you're a little bit older.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'd roll the dice.
I'm asking you, would you, if you knew that decade wasn't going to yield any championships, you're still doing it? Because I'm asking, what the point of this is. Is it to win 9-10 games or is it to win a national championship?
I'm not giving up the national championship if I don't win anything.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you want to eat your cake and have it, too. Which, by the way, I think we've been saying that wrong for a long time. And it's never really made sense to me.
You just said it backwards.
Well, no, I think that's the actual way to say it.
I think it's have your cake and eat it, too.
I think it actually is supposed to be like eat your cake and have it, too.
But wouldn't you have it before you ate it?
But you wouldn't have it after you ate it, which is what makes it such a...
That does make more sense, actually.
Yeah.
Now that you put it in those terms.
Yeah, you eat it and then you can't have it too. But, doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah.
No. You can't eat it if you don't already have it.
What?
But you can't have it if you already ate it.
If you don't already have it.
But you can't eat it if you already have it. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like,
if you don't have a cake, can you eat the cake?
If you eat the cake, do you have the cake?
You might have some left over, yes.
No, then you haven't eaten the cake. You've eaten a piece of the cake.
Well, maybe just eat part of the cake and then save the rest like most normal people do.
I think most people finish the cake.
But that's like the point that John's trying to make sitting. Is like you can't eat the cake and also have it.
Well, it's a stupid expression because everyone.
Birthday party, usually the whole cake is gone.
It's a stupid expression because if you have a whole cake, you're not going to eat the whole cake in one sitting.
Apparently, it used to be the way you say it.
So it used to be you can't eat your cake and have it too?
So it started out that way.
And then it morphed into you can't have your cake and eat it too? Then it was switched, okay.
Oh, then the idiots came along, huh?
No, we evolved as a society. I mean, you can't eat it at all if you don't have it, though.
I mean, at no point in the second saying do you not have the cake, though. Like, before you eat it. Doesn't say you can't not have a cake and then eat it and then have a cake. That's not how the saying goes.
But if you don't have it, you don't even get to eat it.
Right, but it doesn't say that you don't have it.
It doesn't say that you ate the whole thing either.
I don't understand what that argument is.
I don't understand your argument.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. To get you joyous again about football, like what level could Tennessee hit, do they have to hit for you to have like joy?
Stones playing Neyland Stadium would be pretty cool.
Why?
It's just that Brown Sugar riff. Just thinking if they played Neyland, it'd be amazing for me.
Okay.
What were you asking?
My mom would probably like it too.
You think?
Yeah.
She likes the Stones?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of her generation.
Yeah. Maybe we could go together.
She would probably like to go with you, honestly. She's got, like, Rolling Stones stuff in her house.
It'd be a lot of fun. What were you asking?
At what point do you become joyous this season?
Winning the Swamp.
Like, that's it? Like, that's what the whole season has to boil down to?
Well, not necessarily if we lose down there and then come back and beat Georgia.
Like, what is it going to take to get you back to where you're just really, really happy with Tennessee football?
Well, here's the thing. We won't be favored in the Florida game or the Georgia game.
Correct? We will not be. That is a safe assumption.
So, if it's like week six before I feel any joy, that'll be tough.
I just mean, like, when you look at the season at the end of it.
At the end of it?
Yeah, like, let's forget, like, what moment. Obviously, winning games makes you happy. I'm talking about, at what point do you feel like, ah, yeah, that was good.
That was a good year.
Not even a good year, like a great year where you're really, like, you're on cloud nine.
Well, beating a rival.
So if you get to the end of the year and you're like, okay, beat a rival, check.
Well, unless I'm 6-6 and beat a rival.
You're not really good at answering questions, are you?
I don't know what you're asking.
I'm asking what would make you happy this season.
9-3?
Like, truly happy, where you're like, man, that was great.
9-3, beat a rival.
9-3, beat a rival.
Yes.
Simple enough. I don't know why you made that so confusing.
I told you, beating Florida in the Swamp.
Yes. And then you said, well, then if we turn around and go 6-6, I'm not going to be happy. So, like, I mean, you immediately play devil advocate to yourself.
Perhaps you should have been a little clearer on the question.
I felt like I was pretty clear.
Not really. You just asked what would give me joy. I mean, there's a lot of things that could give me joy.
I know. Seeing the Rolling Stones inside Neyland Stadium.
Yeah. Which would probably give me more joy than anything.
So 9-3 beat a rival, that's where you go into the offseason like, man, this is great.
At this point, yes.
Okay.
What is your answer?
I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I just feel like 9 wins would make me pretty happy.
Not beating a rival, though?
Yeah, I mean, just 9 wins.
This year.
Would feel pretty cool. Yeah.
Just this year.
Yeah, yeah, just this year. To where I just felt great about things.
Well, if I feel... you mean great about feeling just, hopeful for the future?
I'd just be really happy this offseason at that point. Just really, really happy this offseason. I would feel like life was good, and I wouldn't be upset or think about what could have been or talk about Tennessee football with restraints.
I feel like we'll always have the what could have been a little bit, though, depending on how the losses come.
Sure. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, if you turn around and you blow big leads in all three games, of course.
2015.
Yeah, sure.
9-3, beat Georgia or Florida, and just really tight losses in the other games.
And that'd be a 10 out of a 10 season for you?
Ooh, what if you beat Georgia and you lost and you're 9-3, you beat Georgia, you lose to Missouri, Bama, and Florida all close. All those games are on the road, too.
The SEC media projected Tennessee to finish 5th. In the SEC East.
Well, that's just asinine.
5th.
Nerds.
They picked to finish behind Georgia, of course. Florida. Missouri. And South Carolina. I mean, that would be a failure of a season, correct?
Absolutely.
Like, we're not signing up for that at all, right?
No, that screams like 6-6, 7-5.
Like, I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, if Tennessee finishes behind South Carolina, things have gone horribly wrong this year. Like, to me, it's almost that simple. Like, when I make a season checklist of things, like, sure, beating Vanderbilt and Kentucky, finishing ahead of them, yeah, that's got to be on my checklist too. But Tennessee cannot finish behind South Carolina this year. No, in the SEC East.
South Carolina's got a brutal schedule.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's the big part of it is, like, when you look at South Carolina and what they have to go through this year, if and Tennessee gets them at home, which means Tennessee at the very least should have the tiebreaker over them if they finish both at, like, 3-5 in the SEC.
Not to mention you still haven't beaten Will Muschamp.
Well, not even to mention you haven't beaten Will Muschamp, even though you just mentioned it.
That's another weird expression. Because every time that expression gets used, it's right before that thing gets mentioned. You know, I'd like for you to go to the store and pick up some milk and eggs, not to mention some more chicken.
I don't think that's how you say that.
Well, you know, you get what I'm saying.
I don't think that's how that phrase works.
I'm just trying to come up with an example.
Yeah, that was
I've had a lot of things going wrong with my car this week.
There you go. You're on the right.
I had a flat tire. The transmission went out.
You're getting closer.
Somebody shattered my windshield.
Okay, keep
not
going.
To mention the blown engine.
There you go.
Even though I just said it.
Oh, yeah. Plus, so, I feel like you should have led. Mention it. I feel like you should have led with the blown engine there.
Not to mention the taillights are out.
Yeah. Hmm. That would have been better. It's more of like a add-on there. The blown engine probably should be at the top. But much better than your first example. I didn't really understand the not to mention the chicken thing. Like,
I don't even want to mention that chicken, but you better get it.
I don't know.
Like, if we're looking at if we're looking at a season checklist, the SEC media has basically came out and said Tennessee's going to have a failure of a season.
I mean, why do we keep caring what all these nerds think?
Well, because it's July 19th and we need content.
Yeah.
If they drop this September 2nd or whatever before the first game, or I guess August 30th, wouldn't care. But it's July 19th, and we need to fill a segment here.
I just wonder why people put value into what the college football writers think. You know what I mean? They don't know anything more about the game than the average fan.
I disagree.
I don't. They really don't. All they're doing is watching the games.
Do I think that 212 media members at the SEC Media Days knows more? No. Do I think 15 or 20 do? Yes. I mean, just the difference between you 2 years ago and me 2 years ago felt like it was a difference.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like you knew a lot more about college football than I did 2 years ago. Now, since then, you've become lazy and don't care about the sport anymore. But, like, I felt like you knew a lot more.
I just lost interest because I know how stupid it is to just base your entire life off writing a preview for the Austin Peay Kentucky game.
Well, I mean, I understand that. And, look, I don't disagree, but I do think that you knew more about football than I did 2 years ago, like, about college football. And I do think you knew more than the average person. So I'm not going to.
I don't think so.
I'm not going to co-sign that you know more than the average fan. Now, does the. Or that you don't know more than the average fan. Now, can you say that the national media who covers the SEC or the SEC media, that they know the team better than the team of that fan base? Or no, I don't think so.
I think there's a lot of regular folks who know just as much as a lot of these media guys.
About the entire conference, I disagree. About their team, I'll hear you out. About the conference as a whole, disagree.
I mean, what makes you think? I mean, it's not like these people are smarter.
I just think they're more invested in it, and it's their career. Like, I couldn't tell you pretty much anything right now about Vanderbilt.
I mean, they might.
But I guarantee you that, I don't know who's the big SEC. I bet Peter Burns could tell you more about Vanderbilt than I could or the average fan. You don't think so? You don't think Peter Burns has a better grip on them?
They probably spend more time looking at rosters and stuff.
Well, that's kind of the point. That's kind of.
It's not that hard, though. I mean,
whether or not it's hard is a different story, but, I mean, it's just people spend more time on it than the average fan.
I guess. I don't know. There's some fans that are crazed.
Well, I don't think that's the average fan, then. I think that's the elite.
Yeah, the SEC fans are pretty wild. I don't know. I don't value the opinion of the media. Just me, I guess.
Like I said, of the 200, and so media members who went down to Hoover, I'd throw 100 out off the top. I don't disagree there, but I do think the good people know more. Adam Schefter knows more about the NFL than the average fan.
Well, yeah. But he's plugged in and at the very top of the food chain.
Again, but I mean, there are some people like that in the SEC that are plugged in at the top of the food chain. They just have more access and who spend more time doing it. Like I said, though, if you take random Bleacher Report NFL writer, I will agree with that. But I do think the elite are better.
Well, the people like that are with the network, the people that are actually connected and they're talking to coaches all the time and stuff like that, sure.
And I would say of the 200 people voting, I would say at the SEC Media Days, there's 30 people who I think are really, really good.
Okay, but 30 out of 212.
I don't disagree. Like I said, I don't disagree with your take overall, but I wouldn't say that I don't trust the media to know more about what we're watching or what's going to happen than the average fan. I think you're giving a lot of credit to the average fan in this situation.
I'll give credit to the guys with the network and the guys that are actually talking to coaches. But most of these online sites is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I don't.
You know, just because a guy can go to CFBstats.com to me doesn't make him an expert.
I agree.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So, like I said, I don't disagree with your whole entire take, but I got a little problems with the overall blanket statement you made.
Well, obviously, if you're Adam Schefter and you're talking to Belichick on the phone or whoever, you know, like that guy's plugged in.
Or just someone who's shown that they know how to watch film. I trust those guys, too. The people who can do the breakdowns and actually see what's happening, I trust those guys.
Do you trust them more than the average coach?
Than the average coach?
Yeah.
In what regard? Of being able to, like, honestly tell you what's happening and judge people's strengths and weaknesses or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Like, the average coach that's still coaching or, like, the average coach on TV? Or, like, what's the question?
Just an average football coach.
That's, like, still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You trust the media guy more?
The guy who can watch film unbiasedly or at least more unbiasedly than a coach? Look, I don't give people credit for having done something all the time. Like, I don't think you automatically get that credibility.
Well, to me, the coach is a much more of a professional when it comes to watching film.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know a lot of media guys that are out there studying film.
Like, what are we talking about? Just him telling you what's happening in X's and O's or him breaking down the game?
Well, I mean, it goes together.
I don't think it does. Like, I don't think that necessarily just because you played the game means that you know more about the sport. Like, you might know more about the ins and outs.
That's not what I'm saying.
But you sometimes get clouded on what you're looking at or talking about, or you're looking at it from a locker room perspective instead of a big picture. Like, all the time I look, I mean, I know it's not the same thing you're talking about, but, like, the NBA awards and the way the players judge certain players, sometimes they're just really wrong about what's actually happening. Like, up until, like, 2 years ago, they all thought Carmelo Anthony was still a top-10 player in the league type of thing. And they would constantly talk about that when Carmelo, you could watch, and people who could watch the film and study analytics would tell you, no, actually, this guy's not.
It depends on the part of the game you're talking about. Like, I think that we trust the coaches more on the scouting of recruits and things like that. You know, that talk we always have where, well, this guy's only a 3-star, but look, he's got offers from Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, you know.
Yeah, sometimes.
To me, breaking down the film, I would have to.
And then sometimes just the big freaks are in the top 10 or the big freaks in the top 10.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you take the 4-star or 5-star that the coach loves that is a bum. Sometimes it makes sense. You're like, yeah, this isn't going to work out.
I think.
And sometimes the coaches miss on that. Like,
I think I would trust the coaches more when it comes to breaking down film.
Sure. But talking about the overall game, I don't agree with. On Sundays when I watch the NFL and I hear Phil Simms talking, I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a guy who played quarterback at the high level. At a high level. Now, granted, like, this is
years ago, though.
Right. Like, granted, this is different time periods.
Yeah.
But still, like, I mean, you would think he would know what he's doing. Whereas,
I'm just going to think that the average coach in this profession, let's say he's a B-level coach and he's going up against a B-level college football reporter, I'm probably going to side more with what the coach says. I'm probably going to think he knows more about what he's talking about. They're both active in the game today. I'm probably going to assume the coach knows more about what he's talking about.
If they are talking about what the guard's doing action-wise, maybe.
Definitely.
What type of coverage you're looking at here, sure, that type of stuff. But yeah, when you're talking about the overall game, I disagree.
Well, what do you mean by the overall game? Like, clock management? Or
that, analytics, personalities, what's happening.
You think the average reporter knows analytics?
No, not the average. I'm talking about the top.
I was just saying B-level reporter, B-level coach.
Yeah, I mean,
B-level. Or A-level, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, now, A-level, now I'm going to take Bill Belichick's word. Like, if we're looking at the top, sure. But
you think Bill Belichick's diving into, like, analytics a lot?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Or at least his staff is.
No, Bill Belichick is not just out here guessing.
Well, I know.
No, I would say he is taking advantage of analytics. Same as Greg Popovich in the NBA figured out before anybody that, hey, shoot the corner three. It's easier and it's worth more points. Do that instead of shooting the 2-foot jump shot at the top of the key. And that's how the Spurs kind of revolutionized the game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you had other coaches who were like, oh, let's just keep shooting long twos. It was kind of the media who helped push this, let's all shoot threes, it's smarter. Coaches were a little resistant to that. I think sometimes they get stuck in their ways.
It was the analytics guys who pushed it, right?
Yeah. Whereas the media, the analytics guys were working hand-in-hand with the media.
But I'm just thinking average media guy probably doesn't know a lot about analytics.
No, I don't give a lot of credit to the average media guy.
Yeah.
But the elite, I do. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.